Okay, good morning, everybody. It's August 10th, and we got an unusually mild day today. It's only supposed to be in the mid 70s here in Littleton, Colorado. And we're going to start today in Romans chapter 7. And if you can just listen, or you can follow along, whichever you prefer. So in Romans chapter 7.
She would be trying to find the pages. Some of them get it.
That's fine. Sometimes I just like to listen.
Some people will use a digital device like their phone or a tablet, and you just punch in the scripture and it's right there. You don't have the page. It's amazing.
Like Terry and Bill?
Yeah. I used to, I was remember I was using I tried that. I was using my laptop like 25 years ago. I was going to meetings and doing that, but sometimes it's something nice about paper and ink on paper. But the problem with ink on paper is sometimes you need your reading glasses to see it. And with the digital thing, you can make it bigger and brighter and see it real good. So, Romans chapter 7 in verse 18. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. This is a good way to start out the teaching. We're no good. What's that old song? You're no good, you're no good, you're no good,
Used to
baby,
sing
you're no good.
that.
Well, no, what this is saying is that our flesh is like you see like you watch sports and you see these young men that are all muscular and they're real good at hitting the ball or kicking the ball or running or jumping or whatever they do, and it's like you see young women, they're pretty and they're nice outfits and all that stuff. But yet, what's this talking about? So, dwelleth no good thing, for it is present with me, but for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, what this is talking about, this is the section where Paul's saying, that which I want to do, I don't do, and that which I don't want to do, I do do. And that's just sort of human nature. And really, well, human that is Christian, we're made of three parts. We're body, we're soul, and we're Holy Spirit. And when we're born, we're body and soul. A little baby running around, just a little body and soul. He's trying to figure out what's going on in life. Saying, you know, if he cries, mom will feed him, right? You got three kids, you know how that works. And, we got a little cat out running around outside. When he wants something, he starts meowing. And then I know he wants something. When the baby cries, you know they want something. Well, let's go to here. Let's flip over a few pages to Romans chapter 12. And it says here in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that you be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me read what's written here. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, verse 3, through the grace that is given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, this is misunderstood a lot of times. And it'll tie into that verse I shared before here in a minute here. But, we see this. Oh, we're not supposed to think of ourselves more highly. I'm just this lowly Christian, carrying all the weight of the world on my shoulders. Woe's me. And if I don't act good, God's not going to be happy with me. Woe's me. Now, what this is really talking about here, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, is let's go back and see, we're presenting our bodies that acceptable and good reason for to God. We what and we also learned that verse here in 7, what's it saying? That in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And see, people think, to think more highly of yourself is to think that by your the body and soul part of you, without the Holy Spirit, can go through life and figure it out. We need God's help. This world is, how can I say this without using four-letter words? I wanted to say, oh, okay, here, it's a crap mess. I can say that. That's not too bad. I was going to use the S word. This world, it's a mess of crap, you know? And to think we can figure it out without God's help is to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. So now let's read this verse 3 again. For I say unto you, for the grace through the grace of God that is given me to every man, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to. Now, according to is a standard.
According as.
Could be according to. Could also be translated that. As God. Yeah, as is better. As God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So that's how we think of ourselves. Because I was sharing a little bit about my ancestry. You know, a lot of my ancestors were German farmers. I could think, well, I'm a German farmer. That's all I am. That's all I'll ever be. But no. God has given to me the measure of faith. And that measure of faith is God in Christ in you. God has given you the full power that he gave Jesus Christ. Each one of us can do the works of Jesus Christ. We're going to see that, or I'm going to go to John 14 in a minute here, but we're not going there yet. So let's go through. I want to analyze these verses a little more. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, what does that mean? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. And that still doesn't, you know, what does that really mean? Does that mean we're gonna become a Catholic monk and go and be live in a monastery and take a vow of silence and a vow of poverty and read verses all day? No. I don't think God wants that for anybody, even the people that do it. What God wants, Diane said it in Manifestations, what God wants is he wants to be part of our life. He wants us to include him. So God wants us to include him in our lives. So when we come across things like, Bill, you said you're going for a job interview. I have a perfectly good job, but I'm looking to get a better job. So I got a job interview on Tuesday. You know, we're always looking to improve ourselves. And we're not conformed to the course of this world. But we're transformed, because this world, we're going to see later on, you know, the world hates God. It always hates, you know, it's always hated God, but we love God. So let's go to John 14. So what about that measure of
John, or First John?
John, the Gospel of John. Yeah, I'm going the wrong way, aren't I? There we go. John 14 and verse 6. This is an important scripture. Jesus said unto him, Buddha is the way. And Muhammad, no, I am the way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the Father is the one true God. That's when if you ever know it, if you ever go to India, there's an amazing man over there, Sangat Bains, and he took what he learned from the PFAL class, and he went to India, and they've turned it to a ministry of thousands and tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of believers, and he teaches people about the one true God. And so no man comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. See, he's the way. And it also says in John 10 that he's the door. So he's the path, he's the way, he's the door, he's the gate. He, basically, without Jesus Christ, we don't get access to God. Verse 12. And Jesus Christ is saying here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do," he's got no prayer even trying them. No. Well, remember, can't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We're not as good as Jesus. We're just little weak Christians. Oh, maybe somewhere we'll get a prayer answered once in a while. No. "The works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." See, God's in the business of answering prayers. "That the Father may be glorified in the Son." And if you ask, and he repeats it here again in verse 14, "And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 26, we'll skip down there. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," and it's King James. I remember when I was a little kid, I was 5 or 6 years old and went to the Lutheran church, and they were talking about a Holy Ghost, and I'm thinking, I don't think I want to go to a church where they got ghosts. Ghosts are scary. You know, and nobody explained it to me. And that was the same church where my mom asked a question, and the minister said, "Well, that's just the devil in you making you ask that question." So my family didn't go to that church very long. But anyway, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost should be translated Holy Spirit. "The Comforter, which is Holy Spirit." It's the gift. God gave us the gift of Holy Spirit. So that's how we became a threefold being. "Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you in all things and bring you to all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And, you know, I wasn't going to read this verse, but let's read verse 27. "Peace I leave you, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." See, the peace that you get in the world is just the wall between the storms, or it's the peace between wars. You know, it's not really very peaceful. It doesn't last very long, and it's just, you know, it's like they're just winding up. The world's just winding up to kick you again while you're down. But the peace that you get from God is true peace. And then it says here, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So let's go, same book here, let's go to John 15. And we'll start in verse 17, that's a good one. "These things have I commanded you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me," Jesus Christ, "before it hated you. For if you were of the world would love its own, his own. But because ye are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Remember the word that I have said unto you, "The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Let's go to verse 23 here. And Jesus Christ says, "He that hates me hates the Father also," in verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, I will send unto you, whom I will send, let's read what's written here. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And let's, now this is what I wanted to get to. That was all the stuff leading up to this. Let's go to Romans. Going the wrong way again. Acts, Romans. And Romans chapter 8. We'll start in verse 28. And here's a verse that we've all heard before, but have we really paid attention to what it says? And we know that all things work together for good. Well, that's great. Let's put that little thing on a plaque. And all things work together for good. Yeah. Life is good. Everything's sweet. Well, what's it say next? For good to them that love God. That's the qualifier. There's a lot of people out in the world that things don't work out well at all. But when we love God, things work out good. To them which are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, Jesus Christ is our brother. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. See, when God looks at us, God doesn't see. Remember that first verse I started with? In our flesh is no good thing. God doesn't see the body. God doesn't see the soul. When He looks at us, He sees the spirit. That's what God sees. And when God sees that spirit, He looks at us like we're the same spiritually as Jesus Christ. That's what God, that's God's opinion of you and me. He looks at us and He says, they're a son of God. They're like the Messiah. They can walk on water. They can raise the dead. So verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what's in literature, this is what's called a rhetorical question. And which means, you know, you're not supposed to answer. We know the answer. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. He, God, that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifieth, He's not going to give it. He cost Him a lot to justify us. He's not going to lay a charge to us. Who is He that condemneth? Christ that died? Christ, God doesn't condemn us. Christ doesn't condemn us. Yea, rather, that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God and who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Yeah, there's a lot of tribulation in the world. There's a lot of things that'll make you upset. Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? I've never had it so bad I didn't have clothes to wear. I've not been that bad. Peril, you know, where you're in danger of dying. Sword. The sword is like symbolic of war, or like somebody's attacking you and wants to kill you. I've never had somebody attack me and try to kill me. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Oh my gosh. The world's going down the tubes. We're going to have a financial collapse. We're going to have wars. It'll be nuclear war. There'll be a famine. There's another pandemic. There's this. There's that. Woe's me. Oh. No, what's it say in verse 37? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. That's as true today as it was when it was written. And see, that's what God thinks of us, and that's what God wants for us. That is the will of God. And I don't know what else I can say about it other than that's the truth. And so we have to remember, you know, that God, when he looks at us, you know, he doesn't look at our body and soul, because these bodies are imperfect. You know, what was I reading somewhere that one of the astronauts that was Apollo 13, he was 97 or 94, and he just died. You know, and that's a pretty good run to live to be 90 some years old. And, you know, some people live to be over 100, but eventually these bodies break down. These bodies corruptible. And when the body's gone, the soul goes away. But we have eternal life. And that's what God sees when he looks at us. And that's where, you know, we're going to be. We'll have eternal life. We're going to be with God. And in the meantime, we can have a good life here. We can have victory. We can have healing. We can have a more than abundant life. And because we love God. And what does God want? He's given us all this stuff. Oh, what does he want in return? All he really wants in return, he just wants us to include him. It's like, we don't have to give up. I remember I was in a meeting once and said, well, if you can't listen to rock and roll music, you know, chapter and verse. I never saw that anywhere. You know, and it's like, you can't do this, you can't do that, you know. And God doesn't, you know, basically, God, what was it? There was this, Dr. Wirtz said once, he said, anytime somebody says I have to do something, I have a problem. Because the only thing I have to do biblically is to love God with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself, and all the rest of that stuff is just commandments of men. You know, and I don't, you know, we don't need to do commandments of men. And really what God wants is he just wants us to include him in his life. So it's like, what's that old prayer? The guy's praying to God, and he says, well, God, you know, I've done pretty good so far today. I haven't sinned. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't done anything against my fellow man. But in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed, and I got to go out in the world. And I got to deal with stuff. So, God, I'm going to need your help. And, you know, that's what God wants. He wants to be there right with us. He wants to be he wants to help us. You know, God's the God that heals us. God's the God that gives us eternal life. God's the God that gets you the better job. God's the God that makes things work out when other people fail. So that's our God. And that's why we can be more than conquerors. And it's not because we're so good by the flesh, we're so smart, or so good looking, or, you know, I don't know. When you get to be my age, if you were good looking, it kind of goes out the window anyway. No, I'm kidding. We're still good looking. But it's not based on that. It's based on God and Christ in us. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to make it available for people to, you know, I like to have a dialogue as part of fellowship. You see in the book of Acts, when Paul would teach, he'd have a dialogue. And so we'll have a dialogue, and other people get to say things, and we'll discuss stuff. And for those of us that are here, we get to break bread together. And they used to do that in the book of Acts, too. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for just the great things in the word that you, how you've given us Holy Spirit, and we can be sons of the Almighty God, and we can walk like Jesus Christ walked. We can do the things he did, and we can walk with you day in and day out in your protection. And when tribulation and persecution and sword and peril and all those awful things come, we won't see it, because we'll be will be in, under your protection. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.